This is the Professional Patients Podcast with Ruben and Ollie.
Recording.
Welcome to the Professional Patients Podcast.
He's done it.
How are you doing?
It's only taken 8 episodes for do it.
It's only taken 8 episodes.
Or 9 episodes, nine, whatever episode nine? We're on.
Are we on 9?
I don't know. I've lost track.
I'm not sure. I'm not going to use this time, though, to check.
No, exactly. You asked me a question. The question was, how am I doing? I'm good. I'm half asleep, but I'm good.
Yeah. I don't think I actually asked you how you're doing, but I'm glad you've already foreseen that thing, because we're living in the future.
Straight in there.
Mate, how are you doing?
No, I'm good. I'm, like, half asleep.
Yeah.
I had a Lucozade, and it's gone right through me, but I'm good. I'm good, because I'm sure you wanted to know that.
I think we didn't time our coffee and recording well. So we finished our coffee and now we're recording.
Yeah, so if you hear me running off at some point, like, and a crash and a bang, we know why.
Just use the closest toilet that you can find near you.
It is what it is.
It is. It's good to see you in person.
Indeed.
Lockdown measures have lifted slightly.
Yeah.
We're still obviously keeping very safe and socially distanced. Like, but it's good to see you in person.
Just kind of like on the other side.
Yeah.
It's nice. And but we can make eye contact lovingly.
This is it. And it's not just through
over Zoom.
Zoom, exactly. So it works, it is. I think.
And I can smell you. And you smell good.
Thank you. I was going to say, I do smell quite good. Yeah. I'd like to think.
Yeah, I mean.
And you do, obviously.
Thank you. You can compliment me as well. But,
sorry,
you know,
I do apologise. I do apologise.
It's okay. I'm very
used to complimenting
myself.
I'm just trying to get in the headspace because today is going to be all about my treacherous path in and out of kidney failure and dialysis and all sorts of things.
It's mostly going to be about dialysis.
It is, isn't it?
Last episode, we talked about me and catheterizing, and we figured...
thank you. I learned a lot.
Flippity-floppity this.
Yeah.
And I'm instead going to basically... I'm going to be the interviewer, Rubes. I'm interviewing you about dialysis. And it's going to be fantastic.
Dream.
It's going to be gorgeous.
Of course. Gorgeous.
Shall we begin, Rubes?
Let's do it. What do you want to know?
Everything.
Yeah?
But the easiest way of doing this is... Let's not pretend. Because we don't have to pretend with me.
Of course. I can be whoever I am.
What? The hell
whoever I want to be.
Is dialysis, Rubes?
What is dialysis? So before we even start...
Right, from the very beginning,
what is dialysis? Everything I say is going to be a little bit of time that I'm putting into looking into stuff, but also just my personal experience, right? So I just want to say that at the top of this episode. There's going to be people that we'll have on later on down the line who have been dialyzing, you know, for longer than I have, who might still be dialyzing. So I'm just going to give kind of my interpretation of things and what I think.
Your personal side of it all.
And once I finish my definition of dialysis,
of course,
I think you'll definitely know what I'm actually on about and why I'm dropping this disclaimer at the very top. Because in short and simple terms for me, dialysis is basically attaching yourself to a metal kidney.
Perfect.
I think that's the way I look
big
at it.
Big old kidney that was, and it's usually to your left or the right of you.
Yeah, it's literally either to the left or the right of you. It won't be in front of you unless you've got your long cords. I don't know. I've been in situations where it's only been left and right.
Yeah.
It usually depends on kind of your access site, which I will obviously, you know, I'm going to drop all these terms here and there.
It's almost like you've been
without
researching this
a little bit, just a tad, you know. But it's interesting because obviously I'm saying all of this from a perspective where I've had my transplant now, and I'm definitely in a much better space, much better headspace, much better place. A lot of things have changed, so it's going to be interesting to kind of go into my life before and all of that stuff. But that's what dialysis is. You kind of attach yourself to outside of your body. There's like a metal kidney, like a machine, and it has like some fibers, some pads. So you've got kind of one tube coming out of your body, going into, which obviously I'm going to explain when I get to my actual hemodialysis, which is something, but it goes out into the body and the machine does the work of cleaning up and purifying all the kind of waste and stuff that your kidneys can't do.
Yep.
What my kidneys can't do.
Yeah.
And then purifies it, cleans it up, bam, cycle, rinse, wash,
repeat.
Back into my system and repeat. And it just does that for, you'd think it'd be quick. No, 4 hours. That whole thing happens for 4 hours. So but there's a lot of blood in your body.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is.
So just to clarify, for a simpleton like me, you sit there or lay, whatever floats your goat.
Yeah.
Sit there, lay, tube, blood out. That was it. Me interpreting Dallas's. Shooting the blood back out of the Dallas, shooting back into you. But the blood going back into you is nice, clean, and all pretty and good to go.
And wonderful. Yeah. And I mean, the wear of the machine is more of a zoom, 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 zoom.
Okay, well, I'm going to change that. I'm going to put like radio mics on every single one and just make better sound effects.
Okay, that's cool.
Sorted.
That's cool.
So,
but yeah, so that's basically what it is, you know? So, yeah.
Well, that sounds cheerful. Like, let's make it more cheerful.
Yeah, go on. Tell me.
Why did you have to? Let's open it up.
Let's open up the wound.
Let's really open up the wounds. Why did you have to dialyze?
Yeah. So
yeah.
For me, I think like it was around the end of 2017. I want to say
beginning end. Yeah, I think it was November 2017
around then. Yeah, around November 2017. I'm sure we'll do a great episode in the future about like kind of traveling and all the experiences that we've had. But kind of, the reason why I'm mentioning traveling is because I did a kind of stint in China, got back, and that's when my kidney health started deteriorating. So in 2017, I was told kind of, at the beginning of the year, you're on AKCC, which is Advanced Kidney Care Clinic.
Okay.
That's the clinic I was attending at the time. And they started talking about, basically dialysis is on the horizon.
Yep.
Start thinking about people that, might want to donate and, because obviously ideally they want me to be like, cool, you've done your innings with this kidney, which, I was lucky enough to have. 2001, dad gave me the kidney, lasted a really long time. 16 years,
which is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm very pleased with that. Yeah. And I did take care of it.
Exactly.
So, as much as I could. So yeah. And then they said, either you need to start looking for other kidneys that are available, because obviously that's very straightforward, right? You just go to Tesco, buy a kidney.
Knock on someone's door. I need that more than you.
Yeah, please.
You just eat a lot of steak and kidney pies.
This is boom. Come on.
Untouchable. All powerful, me.
So, yeah. So I think it was that whole kind of, they're building me up and, saying, okay, so this is it. Dialysis is on the horizon, this, that, and the other. So I was just like, so bearing in mind, I've never had dialysis before. Yep. I've been quite lucky in that regard, back in 2017. Then, they just started talking about, what kind of options. So the doctors need to create what's called an access site, right?
Okay.
So this is what I was kind of talking about briefly before. And that's, I mentioned the machine that does the job of the kidney, but how does that whole process take place? So there's what I think it's called an AV fistula or an AV graft.
Okay, so I know a fistula.
So the fistula, basically both things, they connect an artery to a vein.
Now, right, okay.
I'm not going to say too much because I don't want to say stuff and really catch myself out. That's what you're here to do. But like I said, I'm only telling
just
you
from
my
personal
own experience, right? So I'm only going to be focusing on hemodialysis because we can go into PD a little bit, and I can share why I thought hemodialysis is more for me.
Yeah.
PD is peritoneal dialysis, which is a different thing. It's a different part of the body, and the whole process is very different.
Yep.
And each dialysis experience really is very unique to each person.
This is coming from a guy in Millie who hasn't dialyzed yet, but helps a lot of mates with it and seen them through it. And no one has the same story, really.
Mate, definitely not.
But you get the basics.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yours is completely different to another mate's of
definitely.
Ours. When
and
I
think,
dialyze, it's going to be completely different to yours, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and yeah, I think sorry, it's, yeah. it's just... No, not at all, man. I think it's just... It's definitely... It depends on the person and how they approach life and how they've approached their kidney health in general and all of that stuff, how they take things on. So, yeah, man, with hemodialysis, it was a case of you prepare this access site, so, you get admitted for this procedure. And for me, I specifically went for what's called a PICC line.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get a fistula because I just fistulas didn't suit me. Just preferred that option, just with my acting and things like that. Not that I'm going around doing lots of topless scenes, but I guess I didn't want to add to this tapestry of scars I already have, and I just don't want to be, stick out anymore.
The PICC line suited you better.
Yeah, it just suited me better, right?
Yeah.
So, that's the thing that kind of really affected me in that sense. You're right, mate.
I smashed yourself. My knee on everything I could possibly smash there. Sorry.
That's all right. I didn't want to carry on whilst you're writhing in
agony. Just ignore my tears.
Mate, are you okay?
Uh-huh.
Mate, to be honest, I was in tears with the catheterizing episode, so this is...
Oh, you, I do that regularly, but yes.
Sorry.
Anyway, dialysis.
But back to dialysis. Yeah, so the fistulas, they basically connect an artery to a vein.
Okay.
And
you didn't have a fistula, you went for the PIC line.
The PIC line, yep. Which is, if I'm not mistaken...
PIC?
PIC, well, not if I'm mistaken, but the PICC line, which is a peripherally... interconnected, it's not, is it? It's not. It's peripherally inserted central catheter line.
So layman's terms, Oliver's terms, it's that big old tube.
This is it, yeah.
That gets, well, for you, was in your chest. There we go.
Yeah, that's it. It's literally, there we go. No, it's literally a big old tube, and it basically connects to your body, and it's like kind of two taps coming out.
Okay.
So I had it on my chest and my left and right respectively.
Yep.
Only one at a time.
Yep. But
we can go into that in a bit.
Yep.
So... that's basically what dialysis is for me. That's the procedure that happened. So I had that connection thing.
The PIC line.
I had the access site put in, the PIC line, that's right.
Yeah.
I had that put in, and then, you know, like I think within a month, because they want you to have this line to make sure that you're taking care of it.
Okay.
Because they want to make sure that, you know, things like putting on shower pouches, when you're showering, you need to put a waterproof pouch because you can't get it wet.
Yep.
Now they do say, and the doctors did say to me, if it's what you want, obviously it's what you want, and it's not a massive risk to your health, just because like I've got kind of a fairly okay-ish proven track record of making sure that I take care of myself.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously they were like, you know, with certain things like having a fistula, you can actually have a shower, you can swim, you can do this, that, and the other. With the PIC line, you can't. You can't actually fully submerge. Not that I'm the biggest scuba diver, but I did miss swimming in a weird way. Like, I think it's, you know, when something's taken away from you.
I was going to say, like, at the moment, can't go to the gym.
Yeah.
I'm desperate to go back to the gym.
I'm really not, but.
But it's because it's been taken away from me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go to the gym once, but now I'm good.
Yeah, I know.
Cheers anyway, though, lads.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I know exactly what I mean. As soon as you're told you can't do something, desperate to do it.
It's the only thing I want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the only thing I'm booking swimming.
Never really liked swimming before that, but no, I'm. Well, watch me. Olympic.
I can't even swim.
Yeah.
No, I can swim. And to be fair, I
just can't float.
I can't even do it. I just float. But I actually do love swimming, and it's quite weird, I think. There's certain things that you can't do with a PIC line.
Okay.
That you can with, you know, like a
fistula.
Fistula. Yeah. And vice versa, obviously. But yeah, again, just to repeat, you know, like, it suits me more.
Yeah,
For personal reasons. So that was that. So yeah, so then they prepared you for a month. You're looking after yourself. You're taking care of yourself. They look at you. They go through how, you know, you can obviously remove certain parts of that access site to make sure it doesn't stay infected, which is a big part because with the whole PIC line, that tends to get, there is a bigger chance of risk, like a risk to infection.
Yeah, because
so that's the only
a big
thing.
Bit of plastic in your body. Your body, understandably, just goes, that ain't right.
That doesn't feel good.
No.
That doesn't feel right. And yeah, I can obviously put dressing over myself and I can do certain things because it's not really difficult to learn.
Okay.
I can't quite learn the medical skills involved in inserting a PIC line, taking it out.
I'll just do it myself.
Yeah, it's not as simple as that.
No.
It was really weird, though. Like, I didn't even... like, you've literally got a tube inside you, right?
Yeah.
You know, like in Iron Man, it's definitely not the same thing. But you know, Iron Man's got his little bulb inside his chest.
Yeah, his little light bulb.
His little light bulb.
Some people are going to listen to this and want to kill us.
And want it, yeah.
His arc reactor.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. And you're that person who's listening to this and wants to kill me.
Right now I'm thinking, why do I call it a light bulb?
I just thought, you know, Iron Man.
Arc reactor, ARC reactor.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Yeah, I do like Iron Man, to be fair. He's one of the more preferred superheroes of the 5,000 films that they're putting out at the moment. But yeah, I think for me, it felt weird. Because you can, like, I mean, naturally, and obviously I don't advise people to do this, but with the PIC line, you can kind of tug it a little bit and you can feel it. It's like something's inside your chest, right?
Okay, like a worm.
Kind of like a worm, but a hard worm.
But
so like a rod, I guess, is a good way to describe it. So it is a little bit, It is a little bit,
Now I'm turning.
Now it's
my
turn.
Now it's your turn. Oh, how the turns of tables.
The turns of tables. But yeah, so I think... so yeah, PIC line works for me.
Yep.
So then that's kind of where I am in terms of, okay, cool. Obviously, you're kind of trying to mentally prepare yourself. You speak to the few people that you know who are on dialysis or have been on dialysis, because a lot of our kind of mutual friends in terms of kidney health,
yep,
they're kind of no longer dialyzing. We've got one friend, obviously, who we know who was dialyzing at the time.
Yep.
Who I would speak to him about it and his experiences a little bit briefly. But it's not... and I don't mean this in a nasty way, but it is a touchy subject because it can be, again, this is another thing that I'm going to go into, it's really draining. The whole process is really draining from start to finish, and the days in between and this, that and the other. So that's kind of where I am, like, really, with the whole dialysis thing. But if, in terms of going into like a day in dialysis,
I was
going to
say, so like you mentioned the whole day's draining. Like you go to bed. Mate. Okay, so I'm doing this as your mate, like, as your mate who's known you, and what? Would, like,
as your mate.
Oh, if you hear a pop, you know why.
Yeah,
it's emotional, Roofs. I just hit my knee.
Oh, that was unexpected. Yeah, yeah.
As your mate, as your mate, who, you know, you've saw you go through all that kind of stuff. I would regularly, like, disgustingly regularly being Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Yeah,
get a text from you at like grim times. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
like because I was at you. Okay, I remember once really clear. Yeah, I don't know if you know this.
Yeah.
I remember once I got a text from you at 4 a.m. saying, just woken up, I'm about to get ready for dialysis, so I might not answer.
Yeah.
I was on the way back from the club.
So this is the thing. These times you would call me and I'd be like, oh, is everything okay? Little do I know it's a drunk call. But
let's just rephrase. It wasn't just drunk. Okay. I'm like, Ollie's been carried right now.
Oh, wow. Okay, sorry. And hopefully you'll forgive me for not responding when I'm waking up to do completely the opposite.
I'm quite thankful, otherwise you'd have some quite embarrassing, like, fair what play. Did Ollie say? Blah, 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 blah. You thought I reached the high pitch earlier.
Can I get a transcript of that conversation?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'll just text it out to you later.
But yeah, no, I think it was very much like, what... Because I'm not a morning person. Anyone who knows me knows I'm not a morning person.
Yeah.
Anyone who had the absolute displeasure of working with me during uni knows that I'm not really someone who takes punctuality seriously. Back then I didn't. Now I feel like I've definitely learned my
definitely.
Lesson.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But I do apologise to anyone from my course who are listening.
So, like,
but yeah,
why are you up at 4 a.m?
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Back in the dialysis days. Why are you up at 4 a.m?
Well, technically I'm up at 4:30. So a vehicle comes to... pick up myself, like a patient transport comes up to pick up myself. I feel like I need to say something actually before we go into this. So you kind of have a few options.
Okay.
Again, I'm going to focus on HD, which is hemodialysis, which is
what
the option
did.
I went for.
Okay, yeah.
If you were to go for PD, and I'm not going to talk about it because I'm not really versed in it and whatever, but from my understanding and from someone I know who's has done PD at home, my partner, my fiance, who was... going through that herself, she did it at home
for a
brief stint before, you know, the other way around actually. She did HD for a bit and then she did PD
and then went
at home
to PD, right,
because it suited her lifestyle and she preferred to do it at home. But it lasts a lot longer than how long mine did. Your sessions would be, you know, during, usually it would be kind of the whole night basically.
Okay,
so it's like you leave the machine on overnight,
yeah,
you know, and it's great if you're the kind of person where you're very focused and, you know, you want to change. Like for me, for instance, like, mate, I told you this earlier on, like, I don't want to change my room into a hospital bed.
No.
For someone who's...
Like, understandably.
For someone who's been in and out of hospitals, it's kind of nice sometimes, like, for all their life, it's nice to almost be like, now I've stepped out of hospital, now I can just carry on with my normal life, so to speak. So I think for me, it was that whole idea of, cool, it's done, and let me just have that whole process of I go to a unit, I dialyze, I come home.
Yeah.
Whereas doing it at home, I can't be at hospital 24 hours a day.
No, it's that nice differentiation.
That's
a weird, so
it's a nice
words with Ollie.
This is becoming a regular segment.
You're doing great, hon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's to both of us.
I know, I was
it's
say.
That psychological difference.
Yeah.
Like, in my mind... Like, I go home after appointment. This is my safe space.
This is it.
This is my... Okay, yeah, I got my catheters and my meds and my bags.
You've done well in incorporating it into your routine, right?
Yeah,
like with
exactly.
Tablets, obviously, no one that isn't, you know, going with ongoing health problems.
Yeah.
But they're lucky enough to not take tablets, but
it's
don't not the biggest worry.
Walk into my room and there's a big old dialysis machine in the corner there. Looking like some weird horror film kind of thing.
Exactly.
Like, I can... still get away from it. I'll go to my appointments, and then as soon as I leave my appointments, my mental way of working is very much like, that's done now.
Yeah.
Apart from my obvious, okay, I take my medication and stuff,
of course,
now I'm done.
Now it's like, I'm done.
Yeah, I get that.
And I can get on with
like, when I'm going to need to start the analysing maybe within the next year, maybe within the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to choose the one at the hospital simply for that mental difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I would recommend because it's what I've been through.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, I'm sure we'll have chats about it later on down the line. And
100%.
Whichever's, it depends on who you are, basically, is what I'm trying to actually spit out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's very personal, that's right. Yeah. So, going back to the routine, sorry to backtrack a little bit.
That's all right.
But going back to the routine, I'm up at 4:30 to get picked up at 5, basically. Someone's at the door.
Yeah.
Now, wonderfully, I get patient transport organised.
Yep.
So we're kind of carted off, so to speak. Now, though my session starts at 7, we pick up everyone, you know, along the way to go to the unit. So we're going...
As in, you're, like, they pick you up first.
Yeah, that's
right.
And
we're right, in, so
like, Croydon,
South
basically.
London, Croydon. Well, then, no, it's not. We're like, we are in South London, Croydon.
Yes, we are.
And then, so they go from there,
like Norbury,
their
Stratton,
way in, Norbury,
Clapham,
Stratton,
all of this
to
stuff.
Your dialysis centre.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A cute little 2-hour journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Or it's like an hour and a half.
Quick maths, hour and a half, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's always good to be earlier than later,
100%,
obviously.
Especially with this. Yeah, exactly.
Because it's just, especially when I'm the first thing in the morning, it just makes so much more sense to just start the way.
Yeah.
Obviously, the staff want to carry on in the same way, and it needs to be stuck to a certain clock, like routine or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, so, you know, around 6:30, I get to the unit.
Okay.
And that gives me about 30 minutes to... One thing that I felt in terms of immediately kind of helped me kind of adjust, even though I don't know if I can ever fully adjust to that process, because I'm just used to inverted commas freedom, but is just having a walk.
Yeah, clear your space.
You know, just clearing your head space.
Clearing
what I mean?
Your space. Clearing your head.
Clearing
that's
your
the word
head
I meant.
And
yeah.
the space in your head.
Yeah.
And you're thinking all these things and whatever. So
a bit of mental preparation.
Yeah, just
for
a bit
what
of
you got coming up.
This is it.
Yeah.
And in some days, I'd be quite lucky because I'd have, you know, I'd be able to go to the shops and, you know, grab a like bacon butty or something.
That's
you know,
a chef's kiss.
Bit of brown
I'm not
sauce.
Like, ooh, okay.
You don't like brown sauce and
Mate,
bacon butty?
Okay.
Mate.
My bacon butty consists of the got butty,
butter,
and the bacon.
No butter?
Maybe a bit. It depends on the kind of bread.
Well, just a bacon roll then.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
And you don't have any brown sauce?
No. No.
Have you tried it? Or you
yeah,
just not
no.
Brown sauce?
Like, as long as it's not tomato ketchup, I'll try it.
You don't like tomato ketchup?
Words, I'm not going to gag mid-recording, but words cannot describe how much I detest tomato ketchup.
That's really funny, because my brother, who's in the same house, he lives for ketchup.
Okay, we
we'll stop there.
We'll
stop
be
there.
The undercard for the Tyson AJ
for
fight.
The, Tyson,
but,
yeah.
Ketchup against no ketchup. Let's go.
Who wins
in the red corner? No ketchup, because that makes logical
that
sense.
Makes a lot of sense. That's a good joke.
But, yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Because ketchup is red and all that. No, I do like. Sorry to explain it to our listeners who might not have cottoned on.
I might lean across in a minute just so you can pat me on the head.
There.
But okay, so you get your bacon butty.
Yeah.
A thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. Wonderful. Third in a row.
Third in a row.
I actually did it this time instead of missing my face. What are you getting to drink? What are you doing?
So, interesting question.
Oh, that's the kind of question of, Ollie,
mate,
you're an idiot.
You
what are you doing?
No, no, not at all. You know exactly what you're doing.
Oh,
so, normally, what would I get? I'd get a nice latte, like a hazelnut latte. That's my, you know, that's my.
Especially
poison.
In the morning, you're going to get a coffee or something.
Yeah,
sort of, like to wake you up a bit.
This is it.
Or a Red Bull, maybe, or whatever.
Red Bull, but maybe not
Flows
a Red
your
Bull
goat,
at,
you know.
At 7 in the morning for me these times.
Okay, yeah, fair. It just come right through you, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, so does a lot of caffeine anyway. But yes, yeah, so I get a latte. So I'd get a latte, right? Normally.
Normally.
However.
Non-dialysis times.
Non-dialysis times, you know, I'd get a bacon, but non-dialysis times, I wouldn't be up at flipping 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning.
We'd be getting home at 4 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'd be getting... So I switched from lattes to espresso shots, basically.
As in during dialysis?
During dialysis.
Right, okay.
The reason for this is there's this thing called fluid retention. So you can only... Well, in my case, I could only drink 500 mils a day.
Right.
Between, like, a session, then you get your break, then you get your... session again.
Right.
So my particular situation, it would help if I actually explain this a bit clearer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I'm dialyzing Monday, Wednesday and Fridays.
Yep.
7 to 11. This changes, obviously, sometimes it might be 7:30 to 11:30 or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm dialyzing for 3 days a week.
Yep.
And then I have my weekend off.
Yep.
And then I'm back in on Monday as well.
Okay.
And my kind of position, like our position in terms of that Monday morning slot was the most coveted, because you've got for the end of the morning, well, lunchtime,
yeah,
to the following Monday morning,
yeah,
you've got all of that time off. So it's
you've got
like
a long weekend,
if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
So when it comes to like booking time off or whatever, which I'll go into, which I think, you know, it's like I said, I was very lucky,
yeah,
to manage to. Obviously, there were some really bad situations and bad moments, but there were some really kind of, you know, good people in my life, a really strong support network that let me kind of keep going and continue work and continue, like, kind of just basically, for want of a better phrase, like, just not give up.
Yeah.
Because it's a very depressing place to be in. And I, like, with all due respect, I think as a as was 27 back then, yeah, I would have been 27.
I barely know my age now,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, so. I just have to calculate a bit, but I don't know. I mean, it might be inaccurate there. But the point is, I was like in my late 20s, and I'm going into this environment where, and bless them, they're all wonderful, bar a couple, because, and you kind of allow people to be grumpy,
yeah,
because you're going through something here. They're all kind of 60, 70, 80 plus. So you're sharing this space with people who are kind of like, they've kind of almost like resigned to the fact that my life is now going to be, for the next however many years that I'm going to be alive, go on dialysis, do my stuff, go home. Obviously, you fit in. I'm being very grim here.
Yeah.
There's more to it. You know, you see your family, you see your kids. But with me, it's like cut in the middle of things. And this is what made dialysis so difficult for me, man, because I was doing quite well with auditions. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that away from the mic. But this is what made dialysis quite difficult for me, man, because... you know, I was doing quite well with like teaching. I was actually doing a PGCE course for primary schools, because I wanted to kind of have that balance of teaching properly in a primary school, but also kind of going off to do acting work and auditioning and stuff like that. But kind of, you know, in a way that the cheesy one door closes, another door opens.
Yeah.
A lot actually happened to me during those kind of 3 years, because I started finding kind of like that I wanted to really pursue my passions in art and fashion and music and drama and all of that stuff. So your timetable frees up a lot, as you can imagine. And if you're taking Monday, Wednesday and Friday off, it's very difficult to find a consistent job, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
understandably,
unless
you're very lucky with your employer who understands.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Which I was to an extent. But I guess the tricky thing is that, you know, I teach speech and drama and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd be doing that in the evenings.
Yeah.
So imagine I've finished my session and then I'm going in the evenings and teaching afterwards. Obviously, this is after a few, you know, weeks and months of getting used to, in inverted commas, dialysis, because it's not really something that you can really get used to.
No, exactly, yeah.
So eventually I managed to find time to kind of work and keep going, man, and pursue, like, fashion. I was really lucky in that sense.
So, okay. So you worked in the evenings.
Yeah.
Is that right? Was it every, like, Monday evening?
So it'd be like a Monday, Tuesday and a Wednesday, and then I'd work on Saturdays as well back then. So,
you would dialyze from 7 to 11.
Yeah.
Work in the evenings.
Yeah. So I've got a
window. You're on a 500 mil every single day, including Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it's not going to magically change. Restriction, they call it. I know it's fluid restriction.
Yeah.
Fluid restriction literally just being a restriction of fluid.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
can I just say, so
because
the reason being, kind of similar to what you mentioned about the catheterizing and not being able to pee naturally, this is what the fluid restriction for us is. You've definitely been on something as well, similar, in the sense like, the kidneys, it really sucks. Because
really
the kidneys
sucks.
Obviously, mate, especially when you're in, like, summer.
Yeah.
You're just sweating from just lying down.
I'm thirsty at the best of times.
This is it.
Let alone you put me on a fluid restriction.
This is
restriction,
it.
Restriction.
Because obviously the kidneys get rid of, you know, excess fluid and all of that stuff and the waste products and stuff like that. So if my kidneys aren't working, between those days where I'm attaching myself to these metal kidneys, so to speak, the dialysis machine, that's why I need to only drink 500 mils a day kind of thing.
Okay.
And that's with, like, just... Well,
does that include everything? So, like, food. So
this is what I was going to say.
Okay,
thank you, because I lost my train of thought.
No worries.
Thank you, man. So, like, curries and things that we would eat at home, or like just even when you're cooking, like within stuff, do you boil stuff,
like
steam
oil
stuff
and stuff like that. So you have to take that into consideration.
And
I'm
a big fan of soup as well.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, like,
famously,
I was famously soup. I'm a soup boy. So, like, I just honestly, I was like flipping out. This could not suck anymore.
Yeah.
And I think also with our transplants, we're drinking you know, 2.5, 3 litres, sometimes 3.5 litres a day.
I'm on 6 litres a day.
Minimum.
You turn
exactly.
around to me overnight and go, drink down 500 mils.
Yeah.
I'm like, funny guy.
This is a thing.
Give me my litres.
Well, this is it. But this then, is it. And it's just like, what the flip? And I was one of the lucky ones who could still pass urine.
I was
That's the funniest
say,
thing.
Because, yeah.
you know, with the 500 mils, a lot of people, a lot of the patients that I was, you know, dialyzing with, a lot of them, they were on, like, you can't drink anything.
Yeah.
And that's, mate, that would be, as in, I did for the beginning, that was my kind of, you can't drink anything, and then they slowly built it up, so they were like, okay, you can have 100 mils, and I was like, oh, yeah, thank the Lord, all I can think of is doing shots.
I'm never going to make that sound effect into a mic again.
Please
I apologise to
I
the audience.
I really tried to overlook it.
I can't. I made the, let us proceed.
Yeah. So it builds up, you know, so you get, okay, you're allowed 100 mils now, you're allowed 200 mils now, 500 mils now. Don't get it twisted, there were some weeks where I would just be like, you know what, I want to go on a bender. Because just psychologically, whatever,
yeah.
I need to just have it out of my system, so to speak. I'm not saying that it's the best thing. I'm not saying that it's a thing to do.
No.
I'm just being honest with
you. What
you
did, personally.
I'm just telling you,
yeah.
And
yeah.
thankfully, I'm still here, and I didn't do anything, obviously, too stupid to end up, you know, going into hospital.
No.
But the thing is, you kind of have that security of going back on a Monday
yeah.
and being like, you're back at hospital anyway yeah. to get your treatment, right? So, yeah, there was that. I mean, the fluid restriction was something I think I really struggled with yeah. as well. But I think, like, waking up, I think it all comes down to routine. So, obviously, yeah. early starts, even though I'm not really a morning person, but after a while, I think what makes it really crap as well is that it's like, it's not Monday through to Friday.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's Monday, then I get a line on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then back to work on Wednesday,
Well, yeah, it's basically, let's be
Wednesday.
Honest. Yeah.
And it's not even sociable times. Like, if I'm getting up at, like, stupid o'clock, like 4:30 or whatever. So even now I'm thinking to myself, bloody hell, like, how have I managed to do that?
Because you had to.
Yeah.
Like, well, let's be honest, mate, like, we both look back at things we've done in the past, and like, how the hell did I do that? Well, we didn't have a choice. We had to do it.
100%.
Without, you know, making ourselves, like, without bigging ourselves up too much, just how it is.
Yeah, that's, I think you just kind of, you roll with the punches, right?
We move with it.
This is it. We got to do it. And it's like, you roll with the punches. And to be completely fair, like, I'm not saying that this was, see, like, there were certain things that you'd be more grateful for. Like, my driver was super emotionally intelligent. It was really nice guy, stand up guy. I'm sure I would tell you
definitely,
time how nice a guy he is. You know, he's a Palace fan, which is a bit of a shame, I guess.
Oh,
but it would be a lot of
Arsenal.
But like, I think it was just like, we'd have banter and we'd talk and stuff, and but you'd know, he'd know, like, okay, Ruben's not feeling too great today.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's just be quiet, crack open a window,
have
keep
a chilled
moving,
one and
go
just
home.
Do my job kind of thing. Good
there
man.
You know, and that's it. And that's like, that's, I mean, to be honest with you, I was lucky with a driver that was so patient.
Yeah.
And so helpful with all of these things. And he always went above and beyond. I've got so much time for him. And yeah, but you've got, like, obviously, just the mere fact that I'm not having to pay to go into the unit and stuff like that. Like, certain things, I'm not, you know, I wasn't exactly balling during that period, like, money-wise. And I certainly wasn't broke because, thankfully, I had some money and, you know, like, whatever. And obviously, I'm still living at home. So.
Yeah.
If I was really in the need of some money, then I could be taken care of, like, family-wise or whatever. But I think you just lose all energy, man. You don't even, like, I think for the first few months, I was just complete radio silent. I just wanted to just, like, basically be quiet, not talk to anyone. Even when I come back home, I think my mum would always say, well, not always, but every now and again, she was just obviously so sad to see me because I come back home, I'm exhausted, I'm up at Monday doing this thing, come back home and I just sleep. Obviously, because I didn't start work straight away.
Yeah.
And I was just in a really bad place. And like, obviously, I think a big part of this as well is just like going from, like I said, having all this freedom of traveling the world and like being able to really think, okay, cool, Ruben, you need to start thinking, you know, with acting.
Yeah.
It's obviously a dream and it would be amazing. And, you know, when I do make it, it will be great.
Yeah.
And it'll be great. But until that stage, I need to really think and reassess and be like, cool, I've got a career to think about.
Yeah.
And teaching was a way forward. And it's really annoying how it just cut right in the middle of that. But like I alluded to earlier on, mate, I was so lucky with some of the stuff that happened during dialysis in the sense that I was able to travel and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
That goes on to my... Well, let's backtrack a bit first before I get into my next couple of questions. It's all good. So you were like up at 4:30.
Mate, sorry, I'm not really letting you talk.
No, it's good, man. You're talking about dialysis. I haven't done it yet. It makes sense. up at 4:30. Yeah, you're at the dialysis unit, 6:30. Gone for a little walk. What happens after that? You go into the dialysis unit.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going from memory of what you've told me in the past. You then weigh yourself.
Yeah. So obviously, I stopped at the bacon.
Always a good place to stop, isn't it?
Yeah,
and restart. Perfect. You've walked in. Well, you know, depending how much you've drank, you've waddled in.
Yeah.
You've bounced in.
Yes,
you're about to weigh yourself.
I've bounced in.
You're pure fluid at this point. It's a Monday as well.
Yeah.
So you've had the weekend. So you're pure fluid.
So I've basically, I've bounced in, I've come in, I've got all of this fluid on me,
yeah,
and I'm up at 4:30,
yeah,
and I'm like, well, no, at this point it's 7:00 or whatever.
Yep.
They weigh you, so the nurses, the staff there, like, you go to weigh yourself and see how much fluid you put on,
yep,
during the sessions in between.
Okay.
So then they think, okay, cool, and there's a calculation where you just do, okay, cool, you weigh this much, we'll minus that off your fluid,
okay,
when you get dialyzed.
Yeah, yeah.
And basically, you do your thing, you get your weight, and you go down to where you get your weight. You weigh yourself, and then you go down to your bed.
Yeah.
Or it could be kind of converted into a chair, but
I was just saying,
majority of the time, it's kind of in between.
It's one of those weird mixes.
Sofa beddy kind of. Nowhere near as comfortable as a sofa or a bed. Or a chair with sponge. But I guess when you're doing treatment, nothing's going to be comfortable.
No, exactly.
No matter how many pillows, no matter how many blankets and stuff, yeah. Still felt really cold because the blood is leaving your body as well, right? So, well, I'm fast forwarding a little bit. So then, you know, I get seen to by a dialysis nurse.
Yeah.
And so this is, you know, when I was mentioning with the two pipes coming out of
the,
my PICC line.
The PICC line, yeah, yeah.
So you've got one kind of, tube, essentially.
Yeah.
That comes in, and one tube that comes, well, both tubes come out of me.
Yeah.
One tube goes into the
dialysis machine.
Everything's being purified using these fibers and things like that. It's actually really intelligent. Like, it's an amazing machine, to be honest. If you really break down the kind of science and the invention behind it, I think it's amazing.
It takes someone much more intelligent than us to do that, but yes.
No, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I can barely recall what's happening. And and then the blood inside the machine gets purified, filtered, all of that stuff.
Filtered, yep.
Basically, all the waste stuff leaves it.
Yep.
And it gets back into my body.
Yep.
So that's basically the process. And I'm lying down, you know, like I was saying, like for 4 hours.
Yeah.
In those 4 hours.
Throughout those 4 hours, the same, that's just all that happens. And then what, you got to find your own entertainment.
You got to find your own entertainment.
I assume.
Yeah, so for me.
Especially as you're up early.
Yeah, for me, it was like, even though despite I just said, like, you know, I had a couple of, like, an espresso shot or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd still be just completely tired. I'd feel, you know, there were different symptoms on different days. But a good day, what I'll do is I'll explain a good day and then maybe I'll explain my worst
day. I was going to say, yeah.
A good day was you go in and then, you know, you're still feeling quite tired. You manage to have your phone with you.
Yeah.
You watch something on Netflix, listen to some music, doze off for a couple of hours. And the time eventually kind of rolls by and then, you know, it's done. A best day would be you just fall asleep through the whole session.
Yeah, and then
and
wake
you
up,
wake up and it's like
a good flight.
Well, that was good. Like a good flight.
Yeah.
Mate, exactly that. Like
wait
a good
it, wait
flight.
Wait for it. Chef's kiss again.
Chef kiss goes floor, mate. It is like
it
a
is.
Good flight.
Yeah.
A good session, that is.
A good session, a good flight.
A good session is like a good flight.
Yeah. It's like some really bad maths equation.
I was going to say. So a bad session on the other hand, and this would happen a lot during the time of kind of at the beginning when I was my body was still getting used to all of this, is like Rigering. So I'd get severe shakes. I'd feel really cold.
Yep.
I'd be, you know, however many blankets, even though it's, you know, when you have a fever, it's never advised to have a blanket.
Yeah.
And so this is when my PICC line, which doctors would say, you know, at some point potentially get infected.
Yeah.
It would get infected. So then, you know, the worst situation would be I could feel pain in my chest.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I feel like I can't breathe, essentially.
Yeah.
Again, shaking and all that stuff and taken to A&E.
Yeah.
So that would be a bad session.
Well,
and that happened, and I say that would be a bad session, that did happen a couple of times. It wasn't just because of my infection, because with the infection, the way they treat that is they removed, because like you said, it's a bit of plastic in your body, which isn't normal, right? So what it was they just remove it and they put it to a different site. Again, obviously, nurses in between are saying, do you want a fistula? Do you want a fistula? Do you want a fistula? And, like, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, they're just doing their job.
Yeah.
I get that, but I think for me, it was something that I was quite stubborn about.
Mm.
So yeah, man, I think got my... So thankfully, I mean, I've heard of stories where people have had so many, like 6-7 PICC lines in 1 year.
Yeah.
But I think because if there's something I can take from it, I only had two during a process of close to 3 years,
right? 3 years, yeah, yeah.
So I was quite lucky. I mean, it just shows a testament to how careful I was.
Yeah.
But the first few years, I didn't really do anything, obviously. Yeah. I didn't really go back to work straight away. I'm not swimming.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I am showering, though. And yeah. You have the waterproof pouches and things like that, and I clean it up and stuff like that. So there was that. But yeah, I think it was... like it happened several times at points, like, and then it got to a stage where it's quite unpredictable, mate, and yeah. That's what's difficult when you kind of almost think, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to literally go onto this machine. I don't know if I'm going to feel good.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if I'm going to feel bad.
Yeah.
But one thing that's always constant is the fact that I'm going to feel knackered.
Yeah.
So I finish.
Like, even if it's a good session, even you're going to feel session, yeah, really yeah. tired.
Like I said, even after sleeping, you're still yeah. feeling like, you know.
It's just a constant state of exhaustion.
It's just this is it. Because you finish your session exhausted, you go back home. You knock out,
yeah.
You conk out, and then the following day, Tuesday, oh yeah, got the day off kind of thing. But then, as we all know, with holidays that finish so quickly,
yeah, yeah.
You just think by the end of it, you're having to build yourself up and do it all again.
Yeah.
The following day.
I mean, I remember one mate, a mutual mate of ours, described it kind of dramatically.
Mm.
I won't lie, kind of dramatically, that dialysis keeps you alive, but it doesn't give you a life. And then
I think that's a really good way to put
it. You kick down that door. And kind of went, are you sure about that?
Yeah, I was.
I'm in Copenhagen.
Beautiful, and, beautiful transition.
Thank you. I did beautiful it transition. Myself.
But I really do like that title, though.
Yeah.
It does give you life, but,
yeah.
You know.
But, like, yeah. Again, very personalised. But with you,
yeah, I think sorry, it was I just, towards yeah, back to transition, yeah.
Maybe the last year,
mm.
You did a fair amount of travelling. I think that's fair to say. Maybe it was spread out a bit more than that. I'm not 100% sure, but...
I wouldn't say travelling because I'm
sorry,
I've
so
done
like,
travelling.
Yeah,
I know what
yeah.
you mean.
So
no,
for
no,
like,
gone for
well, you went to a different
country,
and
yeah.
Like maybe for work, maybe for a holiday, but yeah. You were able to get out of good old Great Britain to see the world whilst dialysing.
One of them.
So, my question
if I may
to
ask.
You, if I may, kind sir, it's a ball ache as a transplant patient to go abroad sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like I'm talking from my own personal experience, like. I got announced I've got catheters. I got announced I've got my medication. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. That's annoying. How the hell do you travel safely? And, like, okay, you don't have to go into your own insurance and stuff like that, but how do you travel whilst on dialysis? Is it like a really detailed plan thing? Do you have to tell the hospital? Do you have to plan it with the hospital? How does it work? With you personally, so
I'm obviously going to talk about my version.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm sure I kind of like because it got. Obviously, I didn't really look at the dates too much. Like I said, man, the whole thing's a blur.
No, understandably. Yeah, yeah.
But
like,
I
let's just
write
a brief kind
yeah,
of thing.
No, of course.
Yeah, like, yeah.
But around some point in, so you know, so I don't want to kind of hype myself or
yeah.
big myself up, but yeah, I did kind of kick down the door a little bit.
Yeah,
basically.
You did.
Because I didn't want to go through this. I think after a while. And it was very difficult to get out of that rut, I'll be
yeah.
honest with you, but I'm glad that I had really strong, like a yeah. strong support network, really yeah. good people around, yourself included.
I know.
And like,
I know.
And like, it was very much like, you know, I'm just going to keep going, I'm just going to keep fighting, as cheesy yeah. as it sounds.
No, I know.
So it was very much like, I'm going to still go for work, still find things that I like doing, so go to visit art galleries, even in
yeah.
my own time. I just love art,
yeah.
generally speaking.
I remember you taking me with it.
Yeah,
and
I don't think
like,
you were...
I think, to this day, one of the funniest comments of all time came out of your mouth towards me. I think it's one of the only times you've been kind of angry at me. Not properly angry, but a bit like, why don't you understand?
Yeah.
What is wrong with
I
you?
I think Ollie? It was like...
It was like
a no,
piece
but
of
mate,
like...
That makes me sound like such a pretentious...
No,
knob,
not
mate.
At all. It was
why
just...
You
I was winding you up. I think that's fair to
I
say.
Know,
that. I think
know.
That's a better way of wording it.
It just looks like a screwball winning.
And fair enough, you were exhausted after dialysis. I think it was... I don't even think it was your day off. I think it was after a dialysis session I came to meet you.
Because
I had a
dialyze?
Hospital appointment.
Yeah, yeah.
Came over to meet you and I was like, well, let's do something you enjoy. Let's go to an art gallery. And I'll tell you what... You're going to do the impossible. You're going to do something that someone tried for the last 4 or 5 years throughout high school and college. You're going to teach me about art.
Mate, I don't think I taught you anything.
I taught you something, which is art
that?
Confuses me greatly.
I think so.
Yeah.
No,
well,
I think
it's just a red scribble. Yes. Well, how does it make you feel? Confused. No, Ollie.
No. How does it make you feel? That's the thing. That's the beautiful thing about art.
Confused.
It's completely.
But yeah, so we went.
But you felt something, right?
Yeah, confused.
Yeah, and then you felt hungry and we ate together.
And then hungry and so we went to eat. And like, I had a coffee in front of you and I kind of felt bad, but I was like, no.
Oh, mate, no, it's all good.
So we went from doing that.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I know, you're like, I'm like, hey, do you want to meet this weekend and do something chilled? And you're like, peasant? No.
Are you in Croydon?
Are you in Croydon? No, darling. I'm hitting it up in Copenhagen.
Yeah. So we're talking about taking trips.
How did you manage that?
I was lucky enough to work with some talented people who were doing some stuff online for fashion and stuff.
Okay.
Managed to work myself to get front row tickets for Copenhagen Fashion Week.
Very nice.
So that was an amazing experience. Like I said, I was just literally like, I think all guns blazing in certain parts, certain aspects of my life. Because I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. The worst I'm going to do is be told no. Obviously within reason and not hurting anyone.
Yeah.
So, because I was very single around that time as well. But going to Copenhagen Fashion Week, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
With regards to actually setting the trip up and stuff, it was completely fine, man. I just said to the doctors, I'm going away, because you've got that weekend, right?
Yeah.
So you've got that weekend, like I said, from
the Saturday and Sunday.
Friday's finished that night.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
I think it was Friday night I flew out.
Okay.
And then Sunday night I came back.
Right.
And then,
In time for the Monday,
obviously, in the morning.
4:30 start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they want to be nice, they'll give you an extra day. When I say they give you an extra day, that means I can have the Monday evening. Like, because obviously there's sessions.
You're still going to dialyze on the Monday, but instead of the
like
7 to 11, you might do it on like 8 to...
It'll be like a 6 to... Well,
whatever.
7 to 11 the other way around.
Yeah, basically. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, in the evening instead of 7 to 11 instead of 7 to 11 in the morning. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, cool.
Obviously, this is not something that, you know, like, they don't want you to take the mic.
No,
and it's
but
not something
like,
that I would do often, but I would obviously say it's kind of for work as well, but it's also just the fact that I want to, like, flipping go and escape a little bit.
Yeah.
Amazing experience, obviously. Love Copenhagen anyway. Very expensive, especially for my tight pockets at the time when I wasn't really earning much, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it was very much like a, you know, very interesting situation, but it was quite stress-free, mate. Obviously, I spoke to my doctor at the time. She was incredible. She is like the boss level of doctors.
Yeah.
I definitely want to have her post-transplant now. But with everything going on with lockdown, I haven't
I stole her, so sorry.
Did you actually?
Yeah.
I really hope not, because I really want her back in my life.
If we're talking about the same consultant, she's now in charge of me.
To be honest, I don't think she'd steal you. I think it's more...
No, I stole her.
Yeah, I mean, no, exactly. Whatever it is.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I've sorted Rubes out. Who's the next challenge? And then I kicked down the door and went, right, he's in Copenhagen. How you doing?
How you doing?
Shook her hand, which was like a wet lettuce at the time.
Yeah. She was straightforward, and I think she understood. And I think, so obviously these times now I'm working in the evening and I've kind of found some sort of routine. I'm even trying to play football. I'm playing really poor at football, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you're Arsenal supporter, so it's nothing new, mate.
Even worse than my usual standards, whatever you want to call it that, because just don't have the energy.
Yeah.
But I think because it makes me happy, I just had to keep doing it because it would keep me sane.
That's your you time. I'd call it your you time.
Which I can imagine is frustrating for people who are going to play competitively, and then it's like, oh, no, we've got Ruben on our team. Yeah. I don't think it was on that level, but you know what I mean? Like, it was very much like...
I don't think like that, but yeah.
No.
I'm more like, you should be happy and honoured that I'm on your
team.
That
I'm here.
That you've got the...
Bearing in mind,
comedic, horrific player that is Oliver Crawley. But yeah.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, like, I can't believe some of my days. I've been playing a Tuesday night, bearing in mind that I've got to be up the following day at 4:30, which is quite ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's also like, it's how far can you push yourself? How far can you push your body?
Without
killing yourself, like, obviously.
That sounds dramatic, but it's the case with dialysis.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's playing football. It's being healthy. If I was going on a lash and getting back at stupid o'clock, then it'd be very different. And that would be... The problem is, it wouldn't even be the alcohol. It would be the fluid restriction that I'm going to be compounding to all the other problems that I'm going through.
Blowing out the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think with football, that was... Yeah, I think it's just kind of... I don't know why I mentioned football again, but the travelling. I was lucky enough to do lots of things, really, go away.
I mean, another positive.
Another huge positive.
Ollie, I've met someone.
I met someone.
And I was like, okay, yeah, cool. You're like, it's going to be someone that isn't me. I was proven wrong very quickly.
Yeah, very wrong.
That you did, in fact, meet someone.
Yeah.
Which makes even dialysis is even more bearable for you, I'm assuming. I don't want to take words out of your mouth there and like talk on your behalf, but sorry, I'll let you talk. Yeah,
of course.
Who's your meet for one?
I met the lady of my life, basically.
Perfect.
My fiance now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was kind of waiting for you to say that bit.
Sorry, because you looked at me like, well, that's what, who are you thinking?
I don't know. I didn't know if you wanted to say.
Yeah, well, funny story is actually, before this, I know I've just mentioned my fiance, and I'm not trying to hype this person, even though this person, I met Pharrell, by the way, just on a side note.
You're engaged to Pharrell?
I'm not engaged to Pharrell Williams, no. But I do want to say, just on a side note, because I will obviously hype up Ezra, I will hype her up. But basically, I met Pharrell the day that I found I was put onto AKCC, so the Advanced Kidney Care Clinic. That day, I was feeling proper rough.
Yeah.
Called up the lady that I work with for like the gallery stuff that I did back then, X amount of years ago, and we were just helping running up some stuff. And Pharrell Williams has a shop kind of around in that same area in Soho. And I kind of popped in, left a couple of cards, and I was just like, listen, not going to lie, big fan of you.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, come and see me.
Yeah.
We're just doing some work down there in the gallery. You're obviously into art, so have a look and see what you're doing. Go back to the gallery. Literally, she goes, Ruben, there's someone outside to see you.
Yeah.
And she's like, kind of like really trying to hold in a smile, massive, you know, I'm gas moment.
Yeah.
I step on, like, oh, who's this knob, bloody it. Literally, I'm looking and it's Pharrell Williams.
And then I took off the mask.
And then you took off the mask and you brought it back to a dialysis podcast. Yeah. But that was genuinely what happened, which was quite an amazing thing to happen. Well, anyway, the reason why I mentioned that is because I think life is always balanced.
You've got the goods, you've got the bads.
You've got the goods and 50, you've got the bads. And that's a thing. 50-50. Like, I was in a really, really rough place a couple of hours before that moment.
Yeah.
Because they've just said, basically, Ruben, your kidneys are failing.
Yeah.
You're going to be on dialysis kind of imminently if you don't find a kidney. And I'm like, mate, I'm not, this is no flipping.
Did you take Pharrell's?
I didn't, mate. Imagine. I don't know. Imagine if I just said, like, listen, I've just been told.
Hey, you this
big favour to ask. Like, we just met you.
Big favour. I'm a big fan, but also, do you want to make it a bigger fan? Because I'll have your kidney.
If you can. If I can have a part of you. If I can have a part of you inside me, I'm going
to
stop.
Ways not to word it with Ruben.
So, anyways, I don't know how we went from Pharrell, from Ezra to Pharrell.
Because there's good things in all the crap.
Yeah.
There's good things in all the crap, as long as you, a bit of a PMA.
Yeah.
That can help. But
then, I think PMA does help a lot. And I think
you met the love of your life.
I met the love of my life. And I think despite going through everything and having all of this stuff, like, it's still something that I will always remember, obviously, dialysis for the best parts that have kind of come out of it, in that sense that, you know, because we were lucky enough to go, like, you know, she took time off work and we travel and we went to Dublin at one point. Again, these are just weekend trips, but it goes such a long way, mate.
Yeah.
When you can just go away for a weekend and just space out in another part of the world. We went to Dublin, we went to Slovakia. Mm. This is all during dialysis, obviously. Yeah,
so you would always do, like, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, so it'd be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
So, like, yeah, nice long weekend romantic trips.
Exactly, yeah. And it was really, like, I'm really lucky. Yeah. And, like, I'm even more lucky because I think, especially during dialysis, and I'm again, I just want to stress how lucky I am, because as someone who doesn't really like talking about all of this stuff, it's so nice, it's so wonderful to have someone that I can just open up the tap and just come out to with everything about during dialysis and this, that, and the other. And by having someone there, it's just so much easier.
Yeah.
Like,
Mentally,
because she's been through it.
Yeah.
She's been through the worst. Like, it's so easy to know that if she says something, it comes from a place of experience.
Yeah.
Even though I hate the fact that, you know, she's obviously had to go through this.
It is what it is.
But, you know, it is exactly, it is what it is, man. Yeah. So I think it's just wonderful. And Lovely. Big shout out to Ez, obviously, on this podcast. But yeah, I think it's just really nice, man. And then obviously I did what any good human being would do if they met someone as wonderful as Ezra.
Yeah.
And
you had a kidney transplant.
I had a kidney transplant. I mean, it's the honest thing to do.
It's the honest thing. Like, you had the kidney transplant.
She often jokes about how, like, you know, we must really love each other because we actually can't take each other's kidneys.
No.
So.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
That's like match made in heaven.
It is, literally.
And then there's, like, your kid. your son, me.
Let's hope so. Well, yeah. Who also has defunct kidneys.
Yeah, so I can't take either of my parents, my like non-biological parents' kidneys.
We've just adopted you, haven't we?
So you're safe.
No, I think we're having
You've got
chat
Chucky
about...
as a son, me. Yeah, perfect.
But yeah, I think it's... yeah, man, I think... Like, obviously, this is, again, like, with the whole lockdown thing. Like, you know, it has been tough because we have had to spend time away from each other with the whole vulnerable situation, this, that, and the other.
To clarify, we are talking about, is it?
Sorry?
We are kind of talking about your lassie.
Yeah,
your
of
missus.
Course.
Yeah, yeah, okay,
yeah, of
cool.
Course.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
talking about Ez, yeah. yeah. Like, in terms of, but then what do? You just propose to the person you love.
Of course.
That's just a win-win scenario, right?
Exactly.
Even if it is during a pandemic.
Yeah. So, COVID safe, mind you.
COVID safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proposal. So I've still got the ring, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Good times all around.
Good times all around. So, yeah, man. I think it was... Yeah, so I think... Sorry, I hope I haven't laboured you.
I think
you.
I'm going to...
I talk about Ez a lot.
No, not at all. But like...
Not enough.
Okay, as a guy who knows you well, we have grown up together. There's no shame.
There's no...
Like, we've grown up together. It was nice from... Come now, darling. it was nice for me to kind of be like, right, okay, Rubes is going through some crap. I can't do anything about it. I can be your mate and support you as much as I can. Mm. And I did, and we had some good times. But it was nice
I know, you
to
know what
see...
you just mentioned? Sorry, yeah, I'm just going to cut you off. I don't think you understand, like, how much that moment means.
What?
Because you're going to hospital.
Yeah.
You know, you don't give a crap about gatherings, right?
No, I don't
But the
care.
Fact that you decided, it's not the fact that... Like, it's that spending time with someone during dialysis, even if it's sitting by their kind of bedside and just, you know, chilling.
Yeah.
You started smiling.
I'll drop something after you've said
okay,
the key
okay.
thing. Yeah, yeah.
But I think, no, it goes a long way. And I don't know if this was kind of, I don't know, I just predicted a question there. But it's like, how do you help someone who's going through this?
Are you asking me or are we asking you?
I'm asking myself in some ways, I guess. It's just by talking to them, man. Everyone deals with things differently. It's just,
I think that's the best way. Just be yourself.
Just be yourself.
Like, again, this is a very personal way of doing it.
Exactly. But you know me very well, so you knew that. All right, let me see what Rubes is up to. Cool.
I'll he go meet
galleries.
Him.
Let's
okay.
go galleries.
Did you think you were going to go to that gallery and I wasn't going to wind you up and take the piss?
Of course.
You're
not.
You're wrong.
Would I want to be treated any differently?
Absolutely not.
Of course not.
Because you're not a mug.
Yeah.
It's fine.
There we
but
go.
Like, yeah. So there was.
Let me actually
like
let
that.
You ask your question though. Before I interrupt.
What was my question?
Really?
I can't even remember. I was saying, from the guy, not the outside looking in, but like I wasn't dialyzing, I was supporting you, kind of thing. And then good old Ez came in, and it was nice from what I was seeing, like, okay, cool. This is not like, and it's followed on after dialysis.
Yeah.
It's like almost the good coming out of the crap.
100%, like, because I think it's very labor intensive to be with someone.
Yeah.
Who is unwell.
Yeah.
We both
through
are
no
fully
fault
aware
of, our own.
Of that.
Through, no fault,
through
of...
no fault of our own and kind of to an extent no fault of their own.
Yeah.
Like there were, you know, situations where, you know, you try to get to know people through dialysis, like in terms of, you know, like maybe go on a date or whatever it is. But it's like people don't have time for you.
Yeah.
And
which is
that's literally how it is.
Enough.
And that's kind of fair enough, but it's also don't lead people on. But you know,
yeah, well,
I don't
yeah,
feel any resentment can... towards these people.
Yeah.
But no, I think
it was just
no,
me
but,
in a wig.
Yeah. But no, it's just but we've spoken about this at length before, like on off the podcast, I should say. Like it comes down to the fact that it's like, because sometimes all you need is just some companionship, like some...
Be it a friend, be it a girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever.
Whoever, yeah, exactly. And it goes
nice
a long way.
To have people who you can turn around to... This comes from my personal experience. It's nice to turn around, like you and our other mates and like my other non-transfer mates, who fully understand that most of the time I don't moan. I just get on with it. But if I do turn around and go, oh, get comfy, like, okay, cool. You're going to get comfy because you're going to get like a... ton of just crap coming your way.
Yeah, this is it.
But
if you want to have a rant, have a rant kind of thing.
And it goes
right?
both ways. That's what you do.
Yeah.
And that's getting the good out of the crap.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's
and
nice.
We both know people who have taken like dialysis really badly.
Yeah. But understandably.
And
like,
understandably.
Completely understandably.
Yeah,
that's not their fault at all.
You know. But and we also know people on the other hand who've taken it who are able to have a really like a fulfilled life on dialysis.
Who prefer dialysis over having a transplant.
Yeah. Which is completely fair, because it is so personal.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it got to a stage where, like I said, like, kind of by the end of it, and thankfully with the lead up to the transplant, and, you know, my brother kind of being literally my hero,
yeah,
like, in that sense, kind of even before, but even more so after, like, you know, being, you know, donating his kidney.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't know how much longer I can go through this. I honestly was on that stage because everything is so unpredictable. I don't have any control of my life.
Hmm.
I'm still trying to work. I'm still trying to do all best I can.
Yeah.
Excuse me. That was a very heavy cough. Yeah. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is everyone's different, man. And, you know, you just got to treat things the way you've got to approach life in kind of what works for you.
Yeah.
And for me, it helped to kind of keep working, and it occupied my mind. It made me keep busy, like playing football, however whack I was, still at work. You know, getting more involved in fashion and some of the hobbies and DJing and this, that, and the other. Like, there were things that I was doing that I never thought I would do.
Yeah.
And even now, I think weird as it sounds, if I wasn't on dialysis, would I actually have, you know, decided to pursue acting a little bit more? Would I have done any of this?
Would you have met? Is like, you know, how probably, I would, I'm not my place not. To say how you two met, but with how you two met,
we'll have our separate episode where we can actually
how we met. All right. Stuff. Teaser for
I feel
future
like she
episodes.
Definitely needs to be here.
Oh yeah,
teaser
definitely
for a new episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, for next episode.
So
next episode,
not
a coming
at
episode.
But,
yeah, at some point down the line.
In summary, Rubes,
go on, mate.
In summary,
sorry, I just want to stress.
Go for it, pal.
I just want to stress, even though this is probably going to come back to my summary, but I'm in a very, very lucky position to have met the woman that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with whilst being on this treatment.
Yeah.
So it definitely, like, because there will be people listening to this from both ends of that spectrum of dialysis is whack or dialysis is great and I'm managing to get through. So, you know, anyways, go on.
In summary. Things do get better. I think that about sums it up.
I think it's how you approach it. For me, and that's always been the case with us, though. So even though when you dialyze, when the time comes, you'll have your support network, you'll have good people around you, and you'll deal with it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as
that. Because I have to.
And you kind of have to, exactly. Yeah. And I think with me, that's what it is. Like, in terms of, you know, I was very lucky to have good people around me, and I just really tried to push myself where I can. And thankfully, for me, it was 3 hours.
Yeah.
3 hours?
4 hours.
I wish it was 3 hours. It was 3 years.
That 1 hour makes a difference.
I mean, it really does.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, it was 3 years. I mean, of dialyzing.
Every Monday, Wednesday and Friday.
This is it, yeah.
But, you know, depending how you have that outlook.
For 4 hours.
Yeah. Depending on how you have that outlook, there was good stuff there.
Manageable, bearable.
It was manageable, yeah, which made it manageable. Mm. I'd say, from the outside guy looking in, like you had the good things which made it manageable because you went out and found them.
Yeah.
Or as you already had them, but you made sure you still kept old. Like playing football, like doing your best to get to work and work. Like, cool, I'm going to go Copenhagen. Be it for work, it doesn't matter. You're still doing something you enjoy.
Yeah.
Like,
you know what? I don't.
You know, going up to Wes and actually having a chat with her.
This is it. Well, mate, I think regardless of dialysis or not, I'm quite forthright. Having said that, and I'm sure she will deny what I just said now on the podcast, but she did make inverted commas the first move.
I'll
leave you guys with that tasty little bit of
apparently
she made the first move, but then I think this was after a dialysis session.
Eyewitness accounts. It's me. I have eyewitnesses everywhere.
I have eyewitness accounts on the same person to show that they were very tight-lipped when they fancied someone and told everyone in the room except the person involved.
Possibly even outside the room. Who knows?
No, but we're playing.
On that beautiful bombshell.
On that beautiful bombshell.
Things do get better.
Things
yes,
do get better.
Yes, dialysis is crap, but it does get better. Find the things that are bearable to make it bearable. Look at the bright side.
This is it. And in a few years...
The words of the great Monty Python, always look on the bright side of life.
Exactly. And in a few years, hopefully we'll be, you know, with two healthy-ish kids.
Yeah.
A young Thierry and a Dennis, named after my favourite footballers.
We're talking about me, yeah?
No,
I haven't started.
I'm trying to have a romantic
yet.
Moment
oh, sorry.
Via a public podcast
oh,
with my fiance.
Like, okay,
could you let me do that?
Just kick down the door. Hello. Wrong house. Goodbye.
Sorry, you were really neatly summarising the whole podcast, doing a great job, and I just completely arsenaled.
But you were old school romantic, so it's okay.
I am.
I'm not. So
yes, you are. Don't play it. Don't play it down.
In this situation,
mate, our
I'm not.
Relationships episode is going to be very juicy goosey.
Oh, 100%.
And I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be me with a cup of coffee talking to you two lovebirds.
No. I mean, yes.
I was. Hang on.
Wait. Hang on, no, because are we not? Okay, that's, yeah, let's leave
it's
there.
It's all good. It's
let's
all good.
Leave it there.
All right, fine. I'll have a bottle of rum with me. There okay. we go.
Let's make it interesting. Yeah. I think we should have a couple of drinks for that episode. Anyway, let's not tease this episode.
We'll tease it too much. Yeah. We're teasing too much. We're teasers. I won't go down that route. But yeah, Rubes, where can you find us? Where can you find
us,
Rubes?
You can find us in the streets of Croydon now that it's actually open and public.
Well, you know,
safe.
Don't come over and say hi.
But we won't actually be in the streets of Croydon because
no,
we're still going to be
still high
being
risk.
Very careful and shielding. But where can you find us on a digital place?
Yes.
You can find us on at Professional Patients on Instagram. That's cool. Where you can find us.
Yeah.
So tune in.
Have a listen. You
listen
can find
to
the
previous
podcast
episodes
as,
and see.
As Rubes. Only half did it. I'll butt in here.
Sorry,
kick down that door. You can also find us on everything. Listen to the podcast on everything. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor.fm, all good retail stores. everything. It's fantastic.
It's
pop
wonderful.
Into your local corner shop. Hello, do you listen to Professional Patient? Why not? Listen
yeah,
to us.
This is it.
It's fantastic.
Spread the word. Tell yeah. a friend. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell yeah. a friend.
Spread the word. Don't spread COVID. And on that
wonderfully
toodle pips.
Tasteful joke. Take care, everyone.
Much
Look
love.
Yourself. Lovely to tune in.
Doodles.
Peace.